Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
106.5 FM Los Angeles, 102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren, Mr. Dave Martino.
Yes, present.
Presents. Presents present. For me.
Presents, that
gifts.
Too.
I like gifts. You know, I'm not in a rush to open them, because I get disappointed usually.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's all good. How was Easter? Easter was good.
It was good. It was good. Just me and my wife, and she had a root canal, and so she needed soft foods, and so we just ordered some meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Order? I thought you were going to make it.
Make it? No.
I thought you were going to make homemade meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy and all that. You didn't do all that?
No. We got from a restaurant, yeah.
You got from a restaurant and watched movies.
Yeah, well, I had, that's true. Well, I had to drive down to get it.
Oh, that's tough.
I had to order it online and pick it up and drive back.
You're hard done by. What a rough time. Boy, I tell you.
Terrible.
Yeah, awful. I feel bad for you. Anyway.
The meatball was good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good. Here we are. Good meatloaf. Yeah. Well, talk of meatloaf. We've got a writer back with us today, and he was here before. And he's writing, he's got another book out, and it's called Sleight of Hand. It's a Dr. Kyle Chandler thriller. So, D. Marshall Craig, thank you for being here.
Glad to be back on the show again. Well, thank you.
So let's talk about this. So you've got another book out here. What's the premise of this book here? Like, what goes on in this story?
I started the series back in the 1990s. My previous profession was a physician for 25 years. And during those 25 years as a plastic surgeon, I saw a number of different strange things go on and different characters that I met. And I decided once I got out of all my surgical training, I put it down on paper. And I actually wrote the first book in the series back in 1995. But I got so busy with my surgical practice that it stayed on the shelf for 25 years. I retired from medicine in 2015 and then took the same story and reworked it, found a publisher who really liked it. And so the first in the Dr. Kyle Chandler thriller series was named Cut to the Chase, and that was in 2020. And the second in the series, entitled Hidden Agendas, came out in 2000, 22 years ago. And now the third in the series, entitled Sleight of Hand, is now out as of last month.
So how do you keep it connected when it's such a distance between book one and now the new book?
Well, they're all set in the mid to late 1990s, and that's because that's when I was doing a lot of my medical training in the first part of practice. And so each of these books can be read separately because there's some reoccurring characters in each of the books. But in each of the books, there are new characters who are introduced to the plot, and it's kind of an evolution of his changing from being a trauma surgeon to being a part-time private investigator.
So how do you experience your main character, Dr. Kyle Chandler? Like, do you hear him, see him, feel him? Like, what's your interaction with that character?
Well, he's not me, that's for sure. I did the type of trauma surgery and plastic surgery for 25 years. He's actually a conglomeration of a number of different characters put together. He's kind of a little more cynical and smart aleck point of view on a lot of things than myself. But I try to make him in each novel kind of like David facing overwhelming odds against a Goliath opponent. Kind of leads to the reoccurring theme of never give up.
I guess in a way you can kind of do things with this character you might like to do yourself or feel, but you can't in real life.
He's very busy, and his schedule is very busy. And in the first novel, he meets a woman and immediately butts heads with her and doesn't like her at all. And like a lot of things in life, it turns out differently that they become smitten with each other. And she's very busy. She's a successful businesswoman in Kansas City and has a growing antiques empire, selling antiques. And so they kind of butt heads against each other, and as the novels go on, their relationship gets stronger.
So how do you write her point of view, the female character like that? How do you get into the mindset of that?
Well, I'm not going to say it's my wife, but I can see that, you know, taking the opposite viewpoint of whatever he's thinking is a lot of the times what happens. So while I'm not a female, I do like to explore the opposite side of the coin rather than just his viewpoint.
Well, it's interesting. So what's the premise of this book itself? Like, what happens in it?
The premise of this book is he's a trauma surgeon, and he's doing the side hobby of private investigation. His investigation boss informs him that a wealthy client has requested Kyle Chandler to attempt to track down two historical items related to a supposed family curse. And he immediately just says, I don't want to do this. I'm too busy, whatever else. But he finally gives in and sets off to France to take on the case. And then he goes throughout France and throughout Paris, and he finds that people are following him, and people are, it's getting close to the wire. And then with the help of his girlfriend, Caroline Martinelli, they get through more and more dangerous situations, and he has to figure out a way to get out of this as he gets closer to finding the long-lost item. I'm not going to give away what happens in the end, but part of my story is that it's a very fast plot, moving plot, and very quick dialogues between the protagonists.
Well, how do you keep track of your continuity in the series? Do you have a series Bible? Do you use tools? Do you use systems? How does that work for you?
That's a good question. On each of my novels, I do make an outline, and I come up with a very action-intense beginning of the book, and then a surprise plot twist at the very end. And so I have a kind of an outline in between the first and the last part of the book. I do have to go back and look in the first two books to see what I said or didn't say and make sure that I'm not counteracting myself. But I do like to have the main characters are kind of growing of the characters while I'm adding new characters as we come along the way.
And so would you consider this more like where do you consider this in the thriller mystery detective area? Is it more cozy, or do you have a lot of action, and is there murder and stuff in it? Like, where does it fit?
There is no murder, and the thriller part is not the medical scenes. I try to keep the medical scenes trauma surgery exciting, but not the main point of the thriller. The thriller is him, the chase, trying to find these things in each of the different novels, and it gets faster and faster with the moving plot. And so that's how I like to try to keep the reader's interest.
And the setting, are you, when he goes to Paris and stuff, are you, or France, are you writing a setting detailed like a character?
I am. I usually only want to go about to places, and he's gone. In the second novel, he was in London and Long Island, and this novel, he's in Paris and in Boston. I usually just go to places that I have been and know a fair amount about. The thing that's been interesting is, since it's set in the 1990s, I have to constantly go back and see where these places were and what they were like in the 1990s. The thing that we take so much granted for in this day and age is the advance of technology. In the 1990s, there was a whole lot less technology. I mean, they barely had cell phones. There wasn't laptops yet. The internet was just barely starting. There was no such thing as Google. And so you have to make sure that you're staying within that realm of the late 1990s to make it authentic.
Wow, so primitive back then.
I have two grown sons, and they can't believe that I actually went through childhood without a cell phone.
Oh, boy. How did you survive? That's terrible. Wow, what a life. So now, when you, this is kind of a mystery, and there's like, you're talking about historical items and a curse and all that stuff. Do you totally create all of that in your own mind, or is that taken after some sort of real curse and mystery?
Well, it's a little of both. I did a lot of extensive research on particularly some of these items that had to do with the French Revolution and Napoleon. And while most of them are true and real, there are a one or two that have been made up to go with the overall scheme of the plot.
How long does it take you to do one of these now? I know you picked up the series now since then, but with the research and everything, how long does it take you to get one of these books together?
What I do is think of what the ending and the beginning are, and then I have an outline in between the beginning and the ending. Then I do extensive research for those different scenes, particularly how it relates to the 1990s. So it's anywhere between 6 to 8 to 12 months before we have a rough copy, and then we go through the long process of editing.
Did you put a subtext in this? Is there some sort of meaning behind the story here? Or even if it came out organically or something, is there something you want people to take away from the story?
Not only the fact that don't give up, but you can always be surprised by things that happen in life. One of the techniques that I use during my writing is at the end of each of the chapters where it deals with Kyle Chandler, he kind of mutters under his breath, and it's in italics, of what he's really feeling. And that's what we all do, although we don't usually say that out loud. And so it really reveals a lot more about his character.
People or persons, the bad guy, the evil intent, do you like writing that character or that point of view?
I do, and in each of these novels there's been a main antagonist, and we do get to see his point of view, and it's usually very one-sided in how different it is from the protagonist. But yes, I actually like.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
To some degree, writing the bad guy better than the good guy.
So where does that come from?
I think it's probably with all the years I've read different suspense novels and thriller novels and seeing different variations of that.
Did you find that you used a lot of your own personal work and life in sort of the story itself? Not necessarily directly, you know, it's not like real events, but I guess that you must draw from a lot of your own experience.
Of the medical unique stories in there, I would say at least 75% I experienced, including some very, very strange middle-of-the-night situations in the trauma room, which makes for a unique story. I'm not going to say they all came out just perfect and rosy, but I do use a lot of my experience of being over 35 years in medicine, of the characters that I do, and particularly very, very unique faces. None are revealed by name, and a lot of the characters are kind of a conglomeration of several different people that I knew and put into one.
So where do your accessory, you know, your side characters come from? Are they based on people you know or you've met or seen in a coffee shop or something?
Some of what I've experienced and met in the past, but some of the characteristics of different characters I've read about in different novels and even nonfiction over the years. What I a lot of the time do is on my phone or either just have a note card, and something hits me, I'll write it down. I'll have a whole bunch of note cards or a bunch of different pages of notes on my phone, and then I'll put them all into this one album. And then when I'm looking for something that's very unique, I'll go to that and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. And so that's a lot of where I draw the characters in my stories.
Do you find that when you're putting together a story like this, are you able to sit in a room and just write at any particular time? Can you just sit down and do like 9 to 5, or do you have to be in a certain frame of mind?
Well, it's interesting because I've been asked a bunch about my writing habits, and I write on a computer kind of almost in a storage room where there's no window, so I'm not distracted. I don't have writer's block, but sometimes when I sit in front of a keyboard, just nothing's going to happen, and I don't try and force the issue. I usually just walk away, and if the ideas are not flowing in my brain, and I'll come back to it later and look at things from a fresh point of view, and for some reason, somehow, things get going. And it's the same thing when I try to work crossword puzzles, I get stuck. But when it gets going, I will start typing and try to get it all down, and I'll look up, and 2 hours has gone by, and I didn't even know it.
Well, I know you structure your story pretty well. Did your characters ever surprise you? Did they pull that structure right off the rails and, you know, and kind of take the plot with it? Or do you feel more in control of the, of you know, directing the characters through the story?
That's a really good question because I've had that asked before, and I've actually done in the second and third novel a character from the first novel that was all one way, and then in the second novel kind of changed and went the opposite unexpected way. And so I find that very kind of intriguing that here was Mr. Goody Two Shoes, and then we come to find out later he was not so good.
Well, so where do you see this going? Do you kind of know if you're going to be doing more books of the same with the same guy, same Kyle Chandler, or what's kind of your plans now?
I'd like to continue the series as long as I'm having fun doing it and making interesting stories to go with this series. If I run out of that, then I probably will go in a different direction. But what I've got written down also in a notebook, I've got plenty of stories to tell and to add to the further versions of this series.
So what's your favorite part of writing?
It's interesting how different it is than my life was for 25 years as a surgeon. In a surgeon, you're very structured. You have a very set way you have to do things and only a few alternatives. Whereas writing is almost kind of freeing to where you can go outside the box and try a whole bunch of things that you never felt that you'd even thought of doing. So for me, that's a very kind of rewarding sensation, the feeling from the process.
And what do you find the most challenging part of writing?
I think when you're trying to force something that doesn't work, and the challenging part is overcoming that and just being patient and sit back and come back at another time. I do find that sometimes it's much harder to grind things out and to make good content. That doesn't mean that everything I write we need in the story, because there's a bunch of editing we take out and I'll do over it and I'll have different ideas that come to me sometimes even in the middle of the night that I say, oh, that would be great in this section of the story. So I find that very rewarding.
Who's kind of your favorite character? Is it Kyle himself or is there others?
Probably so, although in the first two books, there were some minor characters that I kind of used from people or patients that I met. And they were very unique characters that kind of called Kyle Chandler on the carpet because they could see right through him. And I find those, even though they're not very long in the story, I find those really unique to add to the story.
For you, what makes a good book? Like, what keeps you reading when you're picking up a book and you buy a book and all that? So what'll keep you reading? What keeps you going?
I feel that you need to have an interesting beginning and really hook the reader. Sometimes if you go three or four or five chapters before you get interested, sometimes I don't even really want to pursue the rest of it. But the characters must be believable, but somewhat unique, and that's what I try to do. I personally like to use quick, fast, snappy dialogue between characters to create some kind of tension. And between the protagonist and his girlfriend, it actually creates kind of subtle sexual tension. I think it should be fast-paced so that the reader wants to turn the page and see what's going to happen.
Well, how do you make that dialogue snappy and good? Like, is there a trick to it, or is there something? Do you read it out loud, or do you play? How do you make it so that it sounds real?
Well, first off, when I write, and that's what some of my editors had to get used to, when there's dialogue between characters, they don't speak in complete sentences. They're phrases. They start sentences with and but. And I mean, that's the way people talk. And they're in fragments to some degree. And so what I'll do is I'll get the ideas down and write them, and then I'll come back 3, 4, 5, 8 times and say, is this what it really sounds like when two people are talking, or are you just reading the paragraph? And so that's the way I try to make it much more realistic. It is a long process to make it believable, but still catch your attention.
Where do you get your inspirations from, do you think? Yeah, I mean, other writers, or is there things in life or something? What inspires you to do a story?
A number of my favorite writers, don't get me wrong, I do read things other than novels. I do like to read nonfiction, biographies, but some of the suspense series are very good to kind of use as a basis of what to put in my story of sorts. It's different in each case, and I try to make it to where the dialogue is quick. One of my inspirational people is a fantastic writer, is Aaron Sorkin. He's written not only screenplays for movies, but television shows, and he has his characters usually have a very, very quick pace. You've got to keep up with it to say what's going on in the situation.
What made you go into writing after being a doctor or after doing that for so long? Was there a particular reason, especially that you came back to it after all these years?
After reading all those years, in particularly suspense thriller novels, I felt that, you know, with all the characters and situations I had been in with my medical training, that I could write a story that people would like also. And I, like I said, I first started writing in the 1990s. And that kind of got me really wanting to do it. Unfortunately, I got sidetracked and was consumed with my medical and surgical career for 25 years and didn't get back to it until I retired from medicine in 2015. But I really enjoy it. I get a lot of pleasure out of it, and hopefully the people that read my stories get as much pleasure reading it as I do writing.
What pushed you towards detective fiction instead of going towards like a medical thriller?
I've read medical thrillers, and I kind of like the more technical, not as technical as Tom Clancy. He's extremely technical with military, but more technical aspects of it. I do like ones that I can relate to, and that's one of the best things that's ever been told me. What you write what you know. And since all of my years of training in medicine, I wanted to bring that part of it into it, but I really like the non-medical part of here's a person who's in control of his medical career, but then when he goes and gets back into this private investigation career, he's not in control. And it's very realistic. He's in a different field, and he's kind of like a fish out of water.
So what's going on now? Are you starting another book now, or you're kind of working on something now?
I'm halfway through the fourth one. I'm really kicking around with three different options for the ending. But strange places of where he goes to, and yet you have to make it believable. It's not like the physician can just get up and leave for a week or two. So I'm trying to make that realistic. But yes, I'm very knee-deep in the fourth one coming.
Yeah, it's quite the process. Okay, so now, do you have a website, or do you do social media? Do you like to interact with readers?
Yes, I do. On my website, it's dmarshallcraig.com, and it tells all about myself and my previous career, my current career, and a little bit about each of my books. Also, I'm on Instagram and been posting, promoting this most recent release, and that's at hashtag DMarshallCraigBooks.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the name is interesting, too. Where'd you get that from?
That's my middle name, and I just decided that after 30 years in medicine using one name, my whole writer's name was going to be the same but different. And that's a lot of the titles in my books. They usually a double entendre, where they mean one thing, but they also mean something else.
Right. Yeah, it's cool that way. Well, this has been great, and I appreciate you being on the show. So we'll have everything up on our site so people can grab it and your book and stuff, and it's called Sleight of Hand. So Dr. Kyle Chandler, Thriller, and D. Marshall Craig is our guest and the author of it. So thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having me again on the show. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Marshall.
This has been a production of the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our show, guests, or hosts, go to our website at houseofmysteryradio.com.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery Radio Show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.